You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello. Welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, December 19th. You're listening to episode 238. Jason is looking down the empty bottle of his beer. Or not beer, it's another bourbon barrel cola. Is there anything left in there? You seemed a little concerned.
No, I was making sure it was empty.
Oh, okay. You couldn't just tip it up and see?
Yeah, shut up.
All right.
Oh, you know what? Well, it's already December now.
Yeah.
But today, when we're recording this, it's November 29th.
Yeah, recording super early.
In 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I get to start drinking my whiskey advent calendar.
Oh, that's snap. Cool. Oh, snap. What's first?
I don't know.
You don't know until you open it?
No. It's a secret.
That's cool. You're big on advent calendars.
Well, this is the first year I've ever had one for myself and or my son.
But okay.
Yeah, I'm huge on them. When I was a kid, actually, my aunt made me one with a bunch of cars and stuff, and it was really cool.
That's neat.
My son has the Star Wars Lego advent calendar, mm-hmm. which... you should go out and get that if you can. It's probably mm-hmm. discounted now because it's already way in advent. So,
yep.
But seriously, you should get it because it's really cool.
And every day it's a new little Lego minifig.
It's a new little Lego thing. Yeah. Like minifigs and little ships and stuff. Oh. Like for it's $39 for it.
That's
but
not
it
bad.
Has 24 little things in it, either ships yeah. or mm-hmm. or minifigs. And minifigs are not cheap, right?
Yeah, no, so, that's like, an okay deal.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was very impressed at all the things you get for it. And cool. one of the minifigs you get, that one of the last ones, is actually like black suit Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber.
Oh you know what's coming?
Well, I looked ahead because...
Oh, because you hate surprises?
Well, it's for my son. And actually, I looked ahead because the first thing he got was this pile of Legos. And I'm like, this is supposed to be Slave One. I'm pretty sure that's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to build it.
Oh.
So I Googled, hey, the instructions, and I got it. And I was like, that's a little weird that there's... Well, then I realized when I opened the second one that they actually... And the inside flap is the instructions.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's very well done, Lego. Huh. Well done, Lego and Star Wars.
Hey.
But so the Luke one is cool because that Luke is a really hard to find minifig. And my son had just said, like, I really want to find Luke. And I was like, oh, dude, it ain't never going to happen.
Yeah.
But, hey, guess what? Yes. It did.
So
we have a local toy store in town.
Yeah.
Lost Toys.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. First of all, I love it.
We've talked about it before.
Recently I went there and I actually ordered minifigs from him.
Oh, neat.
Because they 3D print them
mm-hmm.
and they're spectacular. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get a Darth Vader one and a General Grievous one. So
cool.
For Christmas presents. So
very cool.
Yeah. My son was very excited.
He doesn't have a Darth Vader minifig?
No, because see, that's the thing. The really cool minifigs
uh-huh.
only come with the big ships and stuff.
Oh.
So like, yeah, sure. I can buy Darth Vader's TIE fighter, which is like $80.
Yeah.
You know, so Millennium Falcon came with like 5 minifigs, but it was $100. Right. So, and that yeah. was on sale. It's normally $150.
Yeah.
So,
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah. So anyways, in General Grievous, I don't even know where you would get him.
I don't know. Yeah. He's probably one of those that they're never going to sell again because who gives a crap about General
right.
Grievous?
He's really big in the Clone Wars, by the way.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
My son was really excited because I was able to find him Captain Rex, which is... the coolest clone ever.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We've, again, spent way too much time already talking about
Star Wars. We talked about Star Wars for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You have something to talk about.
I do.
Talk about it. It's about games.
It's about a game. So, Saloon Tycoon is a game.
I hate that game.
Have you heard of it?
It sucks.
It's all right.
I like it.
I mean,
I played it recently with you. Hey, that's weird.
Yeah. So, right. So,
I was like, will you please play my game? I just want to play this game.
I really kind of like it, and nobody will ever play it with me. Will you please play it with me, Jason? We can go to a bar and we can get beer while we play.
Oh, we had root beer float stout. That's what I had. I don't know what you had.
I had their session IPA. It was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. I don't like IPAs, but
yeah, I know.
That root beer float stout
is one of
my favorite calendars
of
beers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the best root beer flavored beer I've had yep. anywhere.
And the trick is because it's the float, it's a cream
yeah,
stout.
Right.
So it's on nitro pull too.
Right. And because it's a beer first, right? It's not like a malt yeah. liquor that they've added root beer flavoring to. It's a beer.
Right.
Yeah. That has.
They made beer.
Yeah.
So.
Right. No, they did it right.
It's
yeah.
good.
It's a place called One Well here in Kalamazoo.
One Well.
Yeah.
Which is, I wish every town had what we have. because it is now amazing there with the big expansion they did. It's a it's a board game bar.
It's a it's a good spot. It's a and just got a lot better because they made it a lot bigger.
It's usually really busy.
Yeah,
so
yeah, they're doing well. Anyway, so AJ came to me several months ago. I don't know. It was after Gen Con. It was after Gen Con, and he said, "Hey, I'm interested in an expansion for Saloon Tycoon. You know, I don't know what his business plans are in general, but he said, I'm interested in an expansion for Saloon Tycoon, and I want to know if you have any ideas and if you want to take a crack at it." And, you know, and for anybody who's not sure, like he's a publisher and he owns that game, right? He could go to anybody he wants to make an expansion. He could do it himself. AJ is a very successful designer. Evan, who he works with, is also a very successful designer. He's made some really good stuff. So those guys totally could have taken it on themselves, and I'm sure would have done an amazing job. But because they're stand-up guys, they said, "Hey, Rob, we want you to take the first crack at this."
Right.
And I appreciate that.
And that is kind of a thing, right?
It's like, kind of a thing, you know. They
give first word of refusal to the game designer, first crack, right? I mean,
sure, yeah,
they can certainly
that.
Say, "No, thanks, dude. This sucks."
Right. And it was. I mean, of course, I said yes. I feel very, very protective of that game. Protective is not the right word. I feel a lot of ownership of the game. Right. Yeah. There it is.
Even though you have none.
So, you know, I want to do it. I've never designed an expansion before, and so it was a really interesting challenge. And let me tell you, it was a hell of a challenge. It was a hell of a challenge. Because it kind of feels like you're not designing a game, you're kind of designing half of a game, or maybe even a third of a game in a way. And it has to fit in with another game that already exists, and it can't just feel like glommed onto the side. It has to feel like it's...
Right.
It integrated piece and is meaningful. And so it was a crazy challenge. And I struggled a lot with it. I struggled a lot. And of course, it didn't help that in the middle of all that, we had a whole lot of stuff going on in our day jobs. And my wife and I decided to buy a new house and move. And I mean, it has been a very busy second half. We'll call it second half of the year. It's been a very tumultuous second half of 2016 for me.
Okay.
But I managed to squeeze that in. And I should say, of course, with a lot of support and a lot of patience from AJ and Evan both. And so I just turned that into him for our recording just a couple of days ago, but as far as builders are concerned, when this comes out, it's been several weeks.
Hey, maybe you've heard back.
So maybe I've heard back. So that's the thing. So AJ is under no obligation to buy this from me, right?
Oh, right. Of course not.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Or he could even buy it and completely change it.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, I don't know what he's going to do. I think it's fun. I like what we did with it. I'm calling it the ranch expansion. So it's kind of, in addition to building your saloon, you are on the side, you're also building a ranch and you're raising cattle and you're raising horses and adding buildings on that, that do various things for you and help you with scoring. I really like it a lot. You helped me test it that night. That's what we were just talking about.
I had a great time playing.
Yeah, it was fun. I think it's an easy addition. It fits in nicely. But again, it's up to those guys what they want to do with it, and I hope that they like it. But if not, hey, no big deal. It was a fun challenge that I've never had before,
right?
And I enjoyed it. And I think that's something probably that's worth sharing and making sure that I'm specific about with the builders, right? That it was a big challenge, and it's not something you've ever done before, and it's okay if they decide to go in a different direction.
Of course, yeah.
Right. And builders, if you ever find yourself in such a position, I hope that you will also be okay with that if such a thing were to happen to you.
You need to, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's one of the things, I said before, for me, last week's episode, you know, I said, for you, this is a hobby, but for a lot of other people, this is a business.
Right.
You need to be respectful of that. And this is a perfect example of that. So mm-hmm. We'll see. I hope that they like it, but,
one of the things you did in it, I won't go into specific details, but that I really think is cool is you added in a way that say there's four people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And three of them are like, "Oh, I want to play the branch expansion. Oh, I freaking love it. Oh, I want to play." And the fourth guy's like, "I just kind of want to play the game." Mm-hmm. Like, you can play the expansion, but not have to like devote your whole game to playing the expansion, right?
Sure.
You have ways built in that you can just kind of play it a little bit mm-hmm. and still focus on the primary game and not be out of the game. And I think that's important for any expansion, right?
Sure. But I think that people who engage with the expansion will get more out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just saying, like, it's not, you're not forcing people to, like,
sure,
you must play the game this way. Because some expansions do that, right? Some expansions kind of completely change the game in a way that takes away the fun of the normal game.
Sure.
And this, from what we played, did not do that. Mm-hmm. It simply enhanced the fun. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like what they say with movie sequels, which is, give me the same thing, only different, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Sure. So I just, kudos to you. I thought it was really good. I was thoroughly impressed and happy when I played it. So, and I didn't know what to expect. Like,
sure,
for all I knew, it could have just been a turd.
Because you and I hadn't really talked about it at all before we played it.
No, we hadn't, because I thought we were going to play something completely different.
Yeah, okay.
Because you had showed me this idea you had like a long time ago.
It ended up being so awful. It just was, yeah. My original idea, I'm not even going to go into it.
Well, I'm not saying you should, but no, I just was like, this is not what you described, but it's really fun. Okay. So,
I was trying to be way too ambitious with my first try. And you know, even that, to AJ's credit, I showed him what my original idea was, and he's like, well, I'm not sure I get it, but go for it. Prove me, you know, show me what you got, because I'm not sure. And it was dumb.
No, what you have now, it fits very well into the motif of the game.
So, anyway, so yeah, an interesting challenge. Maybe down the road, if they pick it up, I can talk a little bit more about that process and those decisions. So, but that is a conversation for the future. How about yourself? What have you been up to?
Well, this basement, I need to finish this still.
Yeah, it's painted now, finally. Yeah, it's been unpainted for 2 years?
A year and a half.
Year and a half?
So, yeah.
But it's painted now.
It took like 2 days to paint it. I mean, it was like the easiest
thing. Well,
you
didn't do it. Your wife did it.
Well, it was really easy for me. It took me 0 days to paint it.
Yeah.
But I used that to get all my game bits organized, because I needed to clean up. Uh-huh. So now we're down to literally hanging artwork.
So while your wife was painting, you were organizing your toys.
No, my wife was painting. I was working at my job. She had the week off. So
gotcha.
So anyways. Okay.
Yeah. So organizing your games now and hanging up some art.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
Some awesome Corinne Roberts art that I have. Some other stuff too. So I'll try, and once I get everything up, I'll send some pictures, because I'm really happy with the way everything looks now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it looks good.
It's been a long time coming to get this finished. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good stuff.
I have a topic we could talk about.
Oh, okay. I suppose we can do that.
I proposed a question to Twitter today, and I got some responses, which is exciting.
Hey.
It sucks when you propose a question, no one responses. So here's my question for a topic.
Sure.
I said, what makes a game need to be a board game more than simply a card or dice game? Is it mechanics, theme, cost, complexity, other? So I got some replies back. So do you want to give me your opinion first?
Yeah. Why? Okay. So what makes a game a board game and not a card game, or vice versa? What makes it need to be?
Because I can give you the first answer I got, which this clearly, Maggie Bot did not read the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Because she said, I think it's just the presence of a board on which you play.
Well.
She missed the word need.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So what makes a game need a board? Well, if we're thinking from a mechanical perspective, mechanically, it needs to have a board. If tracking information is cumbersome with cards only,
right?
So that's from a mechanical perspective. From a size, you know what, size perspective probably isn't even a fair assessment too, because their deck builders can be huge, you know, and so size alone is not. I don't know. I'm struggling beyond mechanical usability.
Right.
But I've only been thinking about this for about 2 minutes. So give me some time.
Even though I asked you the question earlier.
Hey, I don't. I had.
You were sitting across me when I. Tweeted.
I drank a milkshake and it was bad. Not good. And
I got eggnog. It was amazing.
No, eggnog is disgusting. I had salted caramel, which was good for like the first 3 sips, and then the crumbled up little bits of pretzel got soggy, and it just was not good.
Yeah, that sucks for you.
I threw half of it away.
Should have got your peanut butter cup when you knew.
I should have, right?
All right.
Lunch
was
a failure today.
Oh, the food was really good.
Food is fine, but
steak and shake.
Anyway,
Frisco Melt, baby.
Well, what about you? Do you have a perspective
on this? I'm going to save my perspective till after we do the Twitter questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, Matt Wolf replied, and he said spatial awareness mainly. So the idea that you're tracking things in space, right? Hmm. Brendan Keough, a friend of mine, the guy who did all the artwork for Water Balloon Washout, he replied and said he agrees that spatial awareness with complicated and fixed game piece placement better than cards allow. I thought that was a good thing. So again, kind of what you said of better to track than it is. And then Matt Riddle replied to Matt Wolf and said spatial elements is what you mean. To which I replied, sick burn, Matt Wolf. Mm. Use your words, buddy. Use your words.
Ouch.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Laughing
at something we don't know what it is.
Well, this is a reply actually to yours. It was just Matt Riddle saying, by what percentage am I better than Jason Slingerland?
Oh.
60, 70, or 200%? I think you put a negative in front of those. 200% is probably correct. So,
I'd go with about probably 36%.
36% better?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're a jerk. Okay. So that's actually all of the Twitter, comments we got. Because, you know, people don't like us and they don't want to respond to us in a meaningful way, you jerk faces. So I'm going to go back to my question here.
Yeah.
So to my opinions, I think there's a few things. Mechanics, that's the easy one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes as a designer before, I've said, I think I want to put a board in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do things to do a board. I think if there's
gut reaction kind of thing,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Is that normally based around other things? I don't know. I mean, like I've said before, like I feel like this game could use a board. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to do that. Now, maybe that was, the subconscious, like, oh, this is going to be terrible to track without a warrant. So, another thing I want to highlight, because okay. I think this happens sometimes.
All right.
I know it happens sometimes. I just want to ask your opinion on this. I said cost.
Uh-huh.
What I meant by cost was price point,
mm.
right? So how often do you think this happens where publishers put a board in a game
mm-hmm.
simply to make the game more expensive?
Well, we know that some publishers give a game a bigger box just
right.
to get a higher price point. We know that for sure.
Right.
But add a board just for a bigger, better price point. Hmm. I don't know. I'm struggling to think of any examples of that off the top of my head.
So do you think that happens, though, that the publishers do that?
It could. I don't know. I mean, I bet most do not. I bet it's rare. If it does happen at all. I think generally most publishers will do whatever's right for the game.
Yeah,
you disagree?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many times have you seen, like, okay, so let's take my game for instance, right? There happens to be a board in the game, but it is to track scoring.
Unreal Estate, yeah,
and it happens to track scoring, and it did not jack the price up. The game was coming in a box of that size, and the reason we added a board was because tracking the points sucked,
mm-hmm.
and this made it better, mm-hmm. right?
That's a mechanical tracking issue.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And trust me, I know, because I play tested the game about 150 times without having that.
Yeah.
In one of the, we added other pieces and didn't jack up the price. I lost what I was saying.
I don't know.
What was I saying right before that?
Something.
Can you just rewind the tape and tell me?
No, because we can't do
you
that
said,
live.
You said,
I said, I think most publishers...
Oh, do what's right for the game.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
So, I was going to say, so a good example is in real estate of a publisher doing something right for the game, right?
Yeah,
he could have charged the same price for that game, not put a board in it,
mm-hmm.
and the game still would have been functional, mm-hmm. right? But I've seen other games where, I mean, come on, you've not seen other games where you've been like, gosh, this game could really use this extra thing, or... Ooh.
Well, I've seen games situations where I felt like, you know, I kind of wish this game included this extra thing. So I've seen publishers cut components from games to to reduce costs or whatever. But I've rarely seen publishers add extra components for no reason. I think that's rare.
Well, unless they're miniatures. Well, and then I think that happens on the regular.
Should we talk about Kingdom Death?
Kingdom Death Monster.
Version 1.5?
Yes.
All right.
Version 5 million.
Okay, yeah. Right now, they're well over 5 million.
Yeah, I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, you're around 10.
So, just sidebar, right? Like, when we started this podcast, that Kickstarter was going live, right? So,
yeah.
And we made merciless fun of it.
We did.
We ridiculed the crap of the game. Obviously, our criticism did not hurt them.
You think?
Right. So, and neither one of us has played the game. I don't know if it's a fun game or not.
I've heard from people it's fun.
Some people love it, right? I just can't get over, number one, there's a lot of things here. Number one, that name, Kingdom Death, Monster.
I think the idea was that they could make a whole series of Kingdom Death. Kingdom Death Popsicle.
Just what the most generic, market-tested, thoughtless name for anything, any work of fiction or anything you could ever imagine. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's the most stupid generic name in the world. It makes me hate the game from the name alone. Then number two, maybe it's a fun game. They're not selling a game. They're selling miniatures. And it is the most blatant. It might as well be a campaign where they're selling miniatures.
It wouldn't do as well, though. It does better if it's a game with miniatures.
And that makes me crazy. Like, be honest about what you're selling here. Okay, guys? So that's my gut reaction, my emotional reaction. And they've earned so much money, I must be wrong. There can't be that many people on Kickstarter who are fooled, especially the second time around. So it must be a fun game.
Right.
It must be a fun game. So builders, I need your help. I need you to tell me why I'm wrong about this, because I want to be wrong. I don't want any game in the world to be bad. I want all games to be fun. Genuinely, truly, I want all games to be fun because I like playing games and I like having fun. So tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why I need to get over my utter contempt for that name and for that. I read the whole campaign the first time around. That setting is the most, again, focus tested out the butt, nonsensical setting and world that they've developed. And it just makes me angry that they've made so much money off that garbage, off of that kind of that. Like, there's no fiction there. There's no fiction. There's no story. There's no craft there. They just hired some artist to make awesome miniatures, and then they pretend to. So tell me why I'm wrong, please, because I want to be wrong.
So what I'm hearing is you do agree that sometimes publishers put things in games just so they can charge more.
When it comes to miniatures games, yes, yes.
So
yes, because if that game is every bit as fun, if we're playing with cardboard tokens, then they should sell a basic version of the game that proves that.
Right. And that was my big thing about that game.
They shouldn't do that. That's stupid because they can make so much more money by selling minis.
The opulence of the game is, I think, unnecessary. Like, I would buy that game if it was $30 and I could get it with all tokens. I'd be all about that game.
Sure.
$40, $50, but not $200. I probably
still, because it's a f-ing stupid name and a f-ing stupid setting. Okay.
I heard the game was good.
I've heard that too, and I must be wrong.
But I know you hate miniatures. You hate when people make money making miniatures.
Hey, dude, I like miniatures. I like little statues and things. There was a moment in my life. I like toys. I used to buy action figures. There was a moment in my life where I was like, I either need to double down on buying more toys, or I need to find a girlfriend. and
you're married now, so we know.
You guys know which way I went, right? But that drive, that hunger is still in me. And as much as I hate Funko Pops, oh man, do I want some? Yeah. I want all of them.
Me too.
But I have to not do that. I have to not do that.
You gotta not do that.
Because that's just not, that's not a good way to go.
Okay, so anyways, yeah. So thanks for hijacking my topic. Here's funny is I did not plan that. It just came up as we were talking and it occurred to me. But what I was going to say is, so we'll get back to this board thing in a minute. But yes, there are certain, I have seen games that are done very well, very successful. A good example is Sentinels of the Multiverse, right? One of the biggest things that drove me nuts when I first bought that game was, why didn't it come with D20s? Provide my own D20.
D10s, yeah.
D10s. Why did it, yeah. So even worse, D20s I probably have laying around. D10s? Well,
yeah.
You know,
I
so
got
anyways,
a bunch of D10s. But...
That, well, I do too, but yeah, not everyone does. Anyways, that drove me nuts about sure. that game. I've heard that in the newer versions now, they do have them in there
because
they can afford that now. Mm-hmm. So, and I get it. They were like an indie publisher at that time, really sure. just trying to get their stuff
keep
out.
Keep them costs down.
So,
right.
And the game is fantastic. But anyways, so...
I want to play that again.
Yeah, it's I really do too.
Yeah.
So... anyways, so the back to the board thing. So I think we can agree that it's mostly when you need to track something in space, track movement, track complexity,
mm-hmm.
If you not because you want to make the game more expensive, we agreed on that.
Mm-hmm.
Though I do still argue that I've definitely seen games where I think the board is doing nothing for this game but making yeah. it be in a bigger box. So
yeah, and. I mean, there's some gray zone there where maybe the board just helps you keep your pieces organized.
Yep.
But
so
you could just kind of do that on the table, whatever.
Right, right, right.
I mean, to a large degree, Stone Age could be done with cards. It doesn't need a board. But the board is nice.
It's also a Euro, so, you know.
So, yeah. But I don't know. Yeah.
Actually, that is a really great point.
Yeah.
I wish Stone Age was just cards. Think of how much more portable that game would be.
Yeah.
And it costs like $20 less. So.
Meh.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, so beat that topic to death.
Yeah. Well, actually not, because I changed the subject on you.
Well, I didn't mean it in a good way.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, I don't know.
Here's a question. Okay. Designers.
Sure.
When you go to design a game.
Yeah.
Right? Do you say to yourself, this is going to be a card game, this is going to be a board game? I find myself personally designing more card games because I feel like those are easier to pitch and to sell.
Mm-hmm.
They're easier to pitch because they're easier to set up, and I'm lazy, and they take up less space in my bag. But
well, let me talk briefly. That autumn game that I pitched a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
So I started doing some more work on that now that I'm not working on the Tycoon expansion. Started talking through that to myself, because that's how I do it, right? Just open a Google Doc and talk to myself. So when I pitched that, that game's evolved a lot, actually, just in these last few days that I've been thinking about it. So today I came to the realization that it can't just be cards, that I need some kind of a board on it. And I need a board, number one, to track score, and because there are multiple rounds. And I don't want to have sliding cards, track points, you know, all that stuff. But number two, that I need some way to actually remind everybody what phase of the game are we on? You know, where are we in the season? Are we scoring? Basically saying this round, are we scoring yellow, orange, red, or brown? What are we scoring this round to track that evolution? So that, and I could, again, do that with a card, but if I need somebody to track points and I need to do that, why don't I just combine that all together and have one kind of one small board but for
like
that.
A tableau though, like nothing,
small simple tableau,
big.
Yeah, right, the size of two playing cards next to each other, basically, you know, or
right. So it could even be done without a board,
yeah, right, so a tarot sized card maybe, or whatever. So that kind of realization hit me today, that I imagine that as a card game, and it's still mostly a card game, but I think it also needs a small board for tracking some information. And that also means then it also needs some tokens.
You're just trying to make the game cost more.
Well, that's one of those things. And I liked it better as a card game when it was just a deck of cards that you could take with you, even if it was a deck of 120 cards. Mm-hmm. You know, I still liked it better that way. When it becomes something else, it means it requires, you got to have a bigger box and that's okay, but if that means the game is better for it, then that's the right choice to make. So with your question there, so I started out imagining that only as a card game, but then the game grew to a point where it required that, right? So that was that changeover for me. But yeah, boards are all about tracking information and needing that information to be consistent from turn to turn.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's the key. I mean, sometimes you can throw a board in there to raise the price. Sometimes you can throw a board in there because thematically it makes sense.
Sometimes a board, I would think that sometimes the right, a small board may actually lower the price.
If it cuts out other cards and other components?
Yeah, if it cuts out like
potentially
2 dozen cards of tracking.
For one piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah.
And then you can charge more.
Yeah. So there you go.
Boom.
Boom.
All right. You're going to pitch a game. What are you going to try to?
Yeah, I don't know what this game is, man.
Oh, great.
I mean, I'm
excited already.
I have some mechanics that I've strung together into a game that might work, might not. I don't know. I have no theme for this game. So maybe I just want you to help me think of a theme for this. Okay.
I'm good with themes.
I know you are. 52 card game. Okay. This is
52 pickup. You should blow the cards at someone and then they pick them up. Done.
Okay. Thanks everybody for listening to the show. We appreciate it. If you want to get, no.
Sorry, go ahead.
So 52 cards, maybe a little bit more than that right now. I'm thinking 52.
54 okay. would be better.
I'm thinking 52.
54 mathematically is better.
I know, but 52 works for me right now. Okay. So this is mostly a trick-taking game. Okay.
Be careful when you go throwing those accusations around. Trust me. If you're wrong, people get real mad.
Yeah, mostly, but not always. Okay, so the game is played in, I don't know, however many hands. Let's say 6 hands. Okay, maybe 10. I don't know. Whatever. Or no, you know what? You're going to play to a certain score. You're going to play to a certain score. Okay. Say you're going to play to 20 points. First one to get 20 points.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say 50 points because that feels better. Gosh.
How about 52 points?
Okay, 52 points it is. Not 54 though. Okay, so in this deck there are 40 number cards that are numbered 1 through 40. Okay, and they also have suits. There are 4 suits, and I don't know what these suits would be symbolically. Let's say,
how many suits are there?
4.
Hearts, clubs.
Yeah, right. Spades. Because I don't have a theme for this game, right? Yeah. So that's what the suits are, but it's not like there's 4 ones and 4 twos and 4 threes. It would be like 1, 2, 3, 4 would be hearts, spades, clubs, diamonds, then 5, 6, 7, 8, hearts, clubs, spades, diamonds. So they're all pretty well staggered. Okay. They're all individual numbers.
Oh, the cards are number 1 through 40?
Yeah, 1 through 4, right. So they're all individual numbers.
So what about the extra 12 cards?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay. So they're all numbered in there. So it's not like all the hearts are the high numbers and all the diamonds are the low numbers. Okay. They're generally sequential in there. Okay. And mixed up as evenly as we can get.
Okay.
Are we good with that?
So, but the lowest card is going to be 1 suit. So,
well, right. Yeah. And that will
be that suit.
That will always be, but it's not a big deal. The final 12 cards, you're counting there? There means there's 10 of each suit. 40 total.
Hold on.
Okay. Jason's counting on his fingers. It's tough.
Make me laugh. I'm losing my count.
You didn't have beer unless you poured maybe some vodka in that bourbon barrel
lost
cola.
Count. I was trying to figure out if 1 would also be the highest one then too. But then I lost count. It wouldn't be. It'd be the 4th highest one.
Yeah. Right.
So it's the worst thing ever. This game design is flawed.
Well, you haven't heard how the game works yet. I'm just giving you the setup for this game.
Well, the setup okay. for a game that is not very well quote thought
okay.
out.
Look,
it's a big setup.
All right, let me finish this here, okay?
Are we playing evolution here? I mean, not evolution, civilization.
Here's what we're doing. Okay, so the last 12 cards that I haven't identified yet. Those 12 cards are some kind of trump card, okay? And they're maybe again, we don't have a specific theme for this, so let's call them jokers. 12 jokers in there, okay? So you shuffle the deck, all 52 decks, 52 cards.
This game got them, real big, right? Fast.
You deal everybody 7 cards. Everybody 7 cards, okay?
Okay.
All right, and then
how many players?
We'll say 4, 2 to 4.
Okay.
It might be better 3 to 4. I think it's better, let's say 3 to 6, because I don't know how it's going
to
work.
It can't work 3 to 6 with that many cards.
7 cards each person?
7 times 6 is 42, Rob. There's only 40 cards.
Yeah, you're right. Okay,
Wait, unless there were 42 cards,
well,
and then plus 12 now, is how
there's,
how many?
There's 52 cards total, right? There's 40 numbered cards plus 12 jokers.
But I'm just saying, if you didn't want to be a jerk about it, and you wanted to make it work...
Shut up.
You can make it 54 cards.
Okay.
You know I'm right.
We'll say 3 to 4 players. Okay. Just to shut you up. So these are the trump cards. All right. So every round player one, at the start of every round trick, whatever, somebody puts down, or somebody's player one, there's got to be a player button or player one button that moves every turn, you know, and somebody leads a trick. And high card wins. Okay. Put down one card, high card wins. Whoever has the highest number is the winner. Okay. They take those cards to score and you get 1 point per card, not face value, just 1 point per card. But if somebody puts down one of those jokers, jokers always win. So you put it on joker, you get that.
What if you joker a joker?
Well, there you go. This is where the game gets different, right? So if two people put down jokers, or maybe everybody puts down a joker, that triggers a riot. This is a riot. It's rioting here, okay? And now every round of the game is you play five rounds, but everybody has seven cards in their hand. So when you trigger a riot, you have to take one card from your hand and put it face down. Okay?
Okay.
All right. You flip it over. Lowest card starts the riot.
Okay?
Lowest card starts the riot. You then have to draw one card from the deck and flip it over face up.
Okay.
If that card is higher than the card you started the riot with, you're out. You busted, you're out of the riot, and all of your cards are going to go into the pot. Okay? If that card you drew is lower, then you're still in the riot, and you leave it out there. Okay? And then it moves to the player on your left, and they do the same thing, and it becomes a press your luck element. So if at any time you can withdraw from the riot, and any cards you flipped over you can keep for points. If you bust and you're out of the riot, then you lose those cards. They go to whoever the winner is. If everybody else busts and there's one player left or last player in the riot, they win everything else and they take the trick and they win that round.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so with a lot of jokers in there, the point is that it's kind of chaotic and silly and that you want there to be a lot of riots. And if a joker, oh, and then jokers are also wild in a riot. So if you flip over and get a joker, that's okay. You're safe on that.
Okay.
Okay. And then, and you play, and so that once everybody's out of cards, let's say you at some point, maybe you were in the first two riots in the game and there's another round left and you play another joker, but you don't have another card in your hand to participate in the riot, then you just can't do it. You can't play in the riot.
Okay.
Okay. Because you're out of cards. And then, so after everybody's out of cards, you tally up your score, you mix all the cards back together, reshuffle, and deal again, and you say, we're going to play till 52. Okay? So,
right.
Yeah. So, I don't know what that game is, what that theme is, how it works. I feel like it maybe has the potential to function.
It might.
And I don't even know if suits matter. Like, at one point in the design process, suits were really important, but...
Well, now they don't seem important.
Now I don't think they are, so maybe I don't even need those suits.
I mean, you've got unique numbers, so...
So, yeah, why do you need suits? But, yeah, so maybe suits are pointless. It's just numbers and jokers. But I don't even want them to be jokers. You know, I want them to be something else. And I like this term, oh, it's a riot. But I like
first
that.
First thing I thought was, maybe these were all kids trying to get candy, and they're rioting. Because they're fighting over it, like Halloween.
Children battling to the death is, I mean, it's
nobody
a thing
said
in popular
they were battling
culture.
Battling to the death.
Well, they're
gosh,
rioting.
Sicko.
Well, I mean, the Hunger Games is the thing.
Yeah, well, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't.
You brought it up.
I'm not sure that I'm.
Maybe make it the Hunger Games. That's.
It's a little different. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I feel like it could work. It's a trick-taking game with a little bit of a press your luck in it, you know?
Could be a shopping spree game.
Could be a shopping spree, maybe.
Call it Mall Madness.
Shopping spree. It would call it Shopping Spree.
Mall Madness sounds a really good name.
You know, instead of jokers, it'd probably be shopping carts or something. Or maybe they'd be sale tags.
Yeah.
Sale, hey. Yeah, and everybody goes nuts on the sale. So that could work. That's a super boring theme, though.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do with that. Like, I think it's neat. I think it's mashup. It's a mashup of a trick-taking game and press your luck, and plays super simple.
It could almost be like a bidding mechanic. done as trick taking. Like, those are dollar amounts here instead of, you know, points or dollar amounts.
Yeah.
And jokers are all like one big amount, the same amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you play it, everyone ties. So
actually, with the riot part of that you're then going for lower numbers, that would actually work really well with the sale.
That's true.
The sale, the theme, yeah.
That's true.
With it being a shopping spree. Could just call it Black Friday.
You could.
That's actually not a bad name.
You could, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Do you
Bloody
have any
Friday?
Is what?
Bloody Friday.
No. I mean, do you have any other thoughts on that mechanically?
I'd really have to see how it worked and how often the riots worked.
Me too.
Because I feel like it could be feast or famine, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I really don't know. I mean, it sounds interesting.
It sounds like it's worth trying.
I mean, it'd be really easy to prototype that.
Yeah, like, right?
Super duper easy.
Right.
It'd be harder to find two more people to play test it.
Yeah. Like, I could go home when we're done here tonight and put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In, like, 10 minutes.
Right.
So
I just don't know. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think it's worth trying.
Yeah.
Because I think that as a... You need some other stuff, I feel like, but that as a core mechanic would...
I think it's okay.
Could be inspiring, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's okay. So this is like the first time I've ever just from whole cloth created a totally abstract game.
Yeah.
It's just pure mechanics.
It is.
Yeah.
And it is trick taking.
And it is trick taking. I don't like trick taking games.
I'll fight someone they say it's not.
Yeah, right. It's trick taking, but it's also press your luck, and I like press your luck. And I would probably fail horribly on Kickstarter unless it had a really good theme.
Miniatures. You get out of board too, then you can charge more.
Yeah. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Miniatures and a board? Ooh.
At the mall.
The Slaughter Mall.
Kingdom Mall.
Kingdom
Death.
Shopping Mall.
Done.
There it is.
Boom.
I just created the sequel. It's Kingdom Death 2, Shopping Mall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it'd be Black Friday.
Right. I think the whole point, though, of Kingdom Death : is that you don't have to have two.
Yeah, well, this is Kingdom Death Monster 1.5 on Kickstarter right now.
That's dumb.
It's Kingdom Death Black Friday. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kingdom Friday Black Death. Then you'll never get sued.
Whoa. There it is. So, hey, builders, if you have any theme ideas, I would love to hear them. Like, I kind of want to try and paste Rocket Wreckers onto this just because I still love that theme and I have some art. But, man, I'm not doing that.
That actually could work.
Well, how would that work?
I don't know. Well, there'd be two suits.
Yeah, but there wouldn't have to be any suits.
Well, there would be because it's called Rocket Wreckers and there's two factions in Rocket Wreckers.
There are, yeah. I mean, there don't have to be.
What you could do is you could have something unique happen if the Jokers could actually be like the rocketer mm-hmm. and the wrecker, and if like the same one is played, something happens, but if different ones are played, something else happens. There you go. Think about that.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's good, whatever.
Yeah, anyway. That's all I got. So a few little tidbits from Twitter here. Mr. Flip Flory.
Oh, no.
He is a gentleman on Flip the Table. Perhaps you've heard of it.
Never heard of it.
He says, hey, talk about games that can be played at a distance but still be fun. Sort of like chess by mail or any other kind of by mail games.
I would argue that chess by mail is not fun.
Well, it's for players that enjoy the intellectual challenge, right? That's what chess by mail is all about.
Really slow intellectual challenge.
Yeah, but yeah, right. And it's an obsolete idea right now because now we have email. But I've heard of people like playing D&D by mail.
I played a D&D style game on a board, like a post board thing where you post it back and forth.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
Actually, it was a Harry Potter role playing game.
Oh my!
So I was a punk rock wizard with a spiky turtle as a pet.
Uh huh. At Hogwarts. Awesome. Did it have a blue shell?
It did not.
Oh, too bad. It missed opportunity. Green.
His name was Fluffy.
Fluffy.
It's pretty sweet.
That's all right. Yeah.
Mm. And they had this cool mechanic where you could fence, but you put your wand into the sword, like it fit in there.
Wow.
So you would be casting spells where you're fencing. I thought that was kind of cool.
That's neat.
So, yeah.
Okay. Good answer. I got a few of them here from the October Geek. He says, do we have any resources for making playtest mockups? So, you know, free resources. So opengameart.org is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Morgfile.com is another favorite. A lot of open source or royalty-free art on that, in photography mostly.
Game-icons.net.
Game-icons.net is super, super good. The Noun Project has a lot of good icons for that sort of thing. You know what? Don't underestimate, like, Word, you know, for doing card layouts. If you don't want to buy a copy of Microsoft Word, which is shockingly expensive sometimes, you can just use Google Docs. Google Docs are great for that. For good layout, good spreadsheets in that as well. I use Google Docs almost exclusively.
Yeah, I don't do my prototypes in Google Docs. I use Word for that just because that's what I have my template in. But I could do it in Google Docs. It'd be fine.
So. I do that a lot. Because then if I want to make changes to something, I can see it easily from wherever I am.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Just today I went to send an email. I was like, oh, crap. That's at home.
Yeah, right. Other resources... I don't know. Those are kind of my favorites.
Mine too.
Yeah. Okay. He also says, hey, I wish you guys streamed your recording sessions so hardcore BTGers could listen live. Which is funny. And of course my first reaction was, well, it'd be pretty R-rated. but you said maybe we should do that for our 300th episode.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in builders, your reaction to that. Would you guys, number one, would you give a crap if we live streamed? It would be probably like on Mixlr or something.
Mm-hmm. And we would figure it out ahead of time. We would schedule it so you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, right. And we would probably do two episodes at a time because that's how we usually record.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys were interested in us, we would never do that every time because that's
right.
No one would listen to that.
Well, and the problem is too, if somebody did listen to that, they wouldn't actually listen to the real show.
Yeah, right. But if we were to do something like that for a milestone episode, maybe 250 or 300, something like that, would you guys be interested in doing it? Would you tune in? It would probably be on a Tuesday evening Eastern time. That's typically our schedule. So, yeah.
But if we just did one episode that night, we could do it at 8. So it'd be 5 PM for California. So that would help.
Right. Right. Yeah. So. And for our international listeners, I guess you have to do the conversion on the timeline.
I'd
be bad at that. So if you guys are interested in such a thing, let us know. We're certainly open to that idea. It's the kind of dumb nonsense that we can get into. So that's going to do that for tonight, though, I think. So
I think so.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com, or you can call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. You can also record audio and email that to us. That's totally cool, too. Follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason is at JASlingerland, and I am at poorly_design. Like us in places. Give us reviews that are positive, hopefully. That's fine. But buy Saloon Tycoon, buy on real estate. And we might see a little bit of cash from that.
It
will go straight into our pockets. It will not benefit the show. Okay. Not gonna pretend.
Nope, not even a little bit.
I'm gonna buy a computer.
Yep.
All right.
Me an iPad.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah! One, two, two. Build Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Yeah.
Good so stuff.
I have a topic we could talk about.
Oh, okay. I suppose we can do that. Cutting out silence.
Okay, here we go. So, I proposed a question to Twitter today.